Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time now to talk football here on Prime Time with French great Zinedine Zidane returning to Real Madrid as manager just 10 months after leaving the job at the end of last season. The Frenchman replaces Santiago Solari, who was sacked after less than 5 months in charge, with Real third in La Liga, 12 points behind leaders Barcelona. For more on this and other matters in the world of football, we're joined right here in the studio by London-based reporter and presenter Alison Bender, who's worked for the likes of Real Madrid TV, ESPN and Talk Sport. Alison, great to have you here.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yes, a great pleasure to have you in the studio and the perfect person to talk about Real Madrid.
Yeah, I've spent many years there and I know exactly what it's like. The revolving doors of Real Madrid is always a new manager. I have to say, though, this one even took me by surprise, and I'm fairly in the know on this club. I think a lot of people were thinking perhaps they'd go after Mauricio Pochettino, the current Tottenham manager. Maybe even Jose Mourinho, who of course managed there as well, would go back. So this was a bit of a bolt out of the blue because, of course, he left. It was actually 283 days ago, Zidane. He said he needed a break, mm-hmm. and he said that the club needed a new direction. Mm-hmm. So it was a really big surprise to see him back there.
Yeah, and the quote from Florentino Perez, he said, "The best manager in the world has rejoined the club. Our destinies are once again united." But even, you know, in 10 months, how much has Real Madrid changed? How much is it an aging squad and it's not the force it once was?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess you could say it's a club in crisis. They do use that word a little flippantly in Spain, certainly. Barcelona have said they're in crisis before when they're top of the table. But, you know, Real Madrid down in third. It's been a disastrous couple of weeks for them as well, because they've seen themselves lose two games in the Cup and the league to Barcelona. And it's always, a terrible defeat when you lose to Barcelona, plus a humiliation out of the Champions League against Ajax, 4-1 defeat. And that was completely unexpected. But as you say, there are so many players that I think need moving out. There's been a lot of chat of Florentino Perez coming into the dressing room. There are only reports, but falling out with Sergio Ramos. People are saying that he might be sold. Of course, Zidane didn't really get on with Gareth Bale, we hear, and it looks like he might be on his way out as well. So it looks like there might be a bit of an overhaul. And I don't know if you heard in that presentation, but someone asked him about Kylian Mbappe, and Florentino Perez actually said, well, he's a Frenchman, so is Zinedine Zidane, so we'll see what we can do. So I can see perhaps in the summer, he's got 11 games to go, of course. They're totally out of the title race. So I think Zidane's going to be looking at this squad and thinking, what can I do for the summer?
Okay, Zidane has guided Real to three straight Champions League crowns and says that his batteries have been recharged after his break. So how easy, I mean, he's been away for like 10 months, as you mentioned, to make Real genuine contenders again? I mean, he has got to, like you said, overhaul the whole squad?
It is going to be difficult, isn't it? Because you do need to make very, very key changes, but you also need to keep the backbone, the spine of the team there. I mean, Sergio Ramos, for example, is perhaps a player that you don't want to mess with. He's the captain. He's so influential, and he's such a great defender as well. And he's been there. He knows about winning as well. I think you need those characters as well. But yeah, there are certainly things that aren't quite working. And Gareth Bale's been unhappy for a very long time, so I can see that being a change as well. So he's got to be quite careful in what he does and not do things too quickly, because we saw, you know, back in the years when I was at Real Madrid, 2005, the Galactico era, it did take a while for things to gel, because when you bring in too many players at one time, it's going to take a while. But Real Madrid, as you say, they're used to winning big trophies, those three in a row Champions League, so important. And, you know, they've got to get back to those winning ways as quickly as possible.
With Alison Bender here in the studio, ex-Real Madrid TV reporter, talking about changes at Real Madrid and other matters in football. As you mentioned, Alison, Real already out of the Champions League in embarrassing fashion, but there are some intriguing round of 16 ties this week, including Liverpool's trip to Germany to face Bayern Munich on Wednesday night. It's 0-0 from the first leg at Anfield. Bayern have the edge, of course. So how much pressure do you think there is on Jurgen Klopp to get a result in his home nation of Germany?
Huge amounts of pressure, and I'm sure, you know, just Jurgen Klopp's ego will want to go there and just show him exactly what he's doing right now. Virgil van Dijk's been speaking, actually, saying that we've really got to do better when we go away from home, because they've had, I think it's, they lost all their away games in the group, and certainly lost the Champions League final, of course, to Real Madrid as well. So big pressure. Jurgen Klopp's a German. He's going to want to, you know, turn things on there. I think it's brilliant, though, that they kept a clean sheet at home. It's 0-0. If they go away and score a goal, then Bayern will have to score two. I see Liverpool progressing in this one. They've suddenly got things back together again. The strikers are scoring again. I know that they conceded a bit of a strange goal at the weekend in the Premier League, directly from a corner, but then they bounce back. And you see, you know, Sane and Firmino and Mo Salah's looking like he's getting into scoring positions again. So I think it will be Liverpool to go through on this one.
Okay. And already through to the Champions League quarterfinals are Manchester United after their incredible comeback against PSG from 2-0 down from the first leg at home. So what are the chances of interim coach Ole Gunnar Solskjaer getting the full-time job next season? And why has it been such a success after the miserable reign of Mourinho?
I think you just summed it up, really. I think there's always a bounce, isn't there? Even, you know, in business and finance, when you see, you know, things turn around very quickly under new management. Jose Mourinho, he was always known to be a great man manager, but towards the end, he certainly wasn't. He'd fallen out with players. And so initially, I think when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came in, it was a little bit of an arm around the shoulder, and it was telling some of the players that they were loved again, the likes of Pogba and Rashford. Also being a striker, a super sub himself, I think he took the strikers and he actually spoke to them about being a little bit more calm in front of goal. And it's shown fruition. We've seen some of these players just really stepping up a level. But I also think he's very tactically astute. I mean, you've seen the way that he's changed things. I mean, nobody expected them to be able to turn around that deficit in the Champions League and to beat Paris Saint-Germain to go through, and they have. And obviously that incredible unbeaten run that he went on in the Premier League as well. I just can't see how you can't give him the job, to be honest. He's done brilliantly with Manchester United and brought back attractive football as well.
And Alison Bender knows the Premier League well, of course, covering it for ESPN FC and also working for Chelsea TV. So let's look at the Premier League race now. It's absolutely intriguing. About 8 games remaining in the season, Manchester City leading Liverpool by a single point. How do you think City, the reigning champions, have been able to turn things around, having been so far behind Liverpool just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing it by being utterly consistent. They've got an incredibly strong strength in depth as well. And also, I think the fact that Liverpool have really started to throw it away, to be honest. I went to the game at West Ham. They'd already lost to Leicester just before that, and it looked like the wheels were starting to come off. And I think in that period, they just lost and drew. So many draws, I think, has been the big thing for them. And suddenly, they find that their lead is just a point, which must be so disappointing for Jurgen Klopp when you've got it in your own hands like that. Pep Guardiola, they just know how to do it well. I mean, even very simple wins, 1-0 wins, but, you know, good teams know how to win ugly, and that's exactly what's happened.
Okay, that's very true. Okay, after looking like real contenders, I mean, we want to talk about Tottenham Hotspur right now. They're now a distant third. I mean, Arsenal and Manchester United are kind of like breeding down the necks. So what is wrong with Spurs?
It's a real shame, and I do have a lot of sympathy for Mauricio Pochettino, because he said very, very recently after the last game, after the loss to Southampton, he said, "We feel that we've reached our level." And I see what he's saying, because it's all about finances, isn't it? And for 2 transfer windows, he's not been able to spend any money. We all know that Daniel Levy is a shrewd businessman. But when you're competing with the likes of Manchester City, with Liverpool, with Chelsea, who are going and getting huge signings, even Chelsea signing Higuain not so long ago, you just can't compete with the squad that Tottenham have. And of course, they've got their new stadium. That's certainly a carrot for him to dangle in front of his players. But that, for some players, might not be enough. And the likes of Harry Kane and Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen, some of the really good players, they might be looking elsewhere because, you know, frankly, if your manager doesn't trust in your team, why should you as well? And I think it could be a really difficult situation because they've had a couple of third place finish. They had second place as well. They've come so close, but they just seem to be sort of so close so far.
Finally, Alison, we're going to put you on the spot here with Alison Bender, renowned presenter and reporter from England. Your prediction for the Premier League top four and for the winners of this season's UEFA Champions League. In order in the top four, please.
Okay, I am absolutely terrible at predictions. So whatever I say, just don't go with what I'm going to say. But to be honest, I mean, first and second are always going to be Manchester City and Liverpool. I'm not sure which order yet,
to be honest. What do you think?
I think, unfortunately, Manchester City are going to win. And I think it's sad because I love the competitiveness of the Premier League, and I'd love to see Liverpool win it after, you know, 29 years. I mean, yeah, it really shakes things up. But in third, I think it's incredibly tight. I think it was a massive, massive win for Arsenal the other day against Manchester United. Mm-hmm. It puts them in pole position because if you look at their last 8 games, Arsenal have actually got the easiest run of all of them. But I do think Manchester United and what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done as well. Do you know what? I'm going to go with Arsenal. Arsenal in third. I'm going to go with Manchester United in fourth, which means Spurs and Chelsea both miss out on Champions League football, which is huge. And Chelsea are my team, so I can't believe I'm even saying this. And for Champions League, your other question, it's a tough one to call, but I've got a funny feeling about Manchester City, you know. I think they can possibly win the league and possibly win the Champions League. And wow, how phenomenal for a manager like Pep Guardiola to be able to do that. He deserves it, to come over to this country and prove everyone wrong and say, you know, I don't just take wonderful teams. Of course, Manchester City are a wonderful team, but he's certainly improved them, that's for sure.
Well, Alison Bando, thank you very much for coming into the studio. We're
pleasure.
Taking enough of your time, I'm sure. Alison has worked for the likes of Real Madrid TV, ESPN, and Talk Sport as well. Thank you for coming into Money FM. And this has been a Spot On right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.